On this podcast, we discuss medical diagnoses and procedures. All of the guests express their own opinions. You should always seek medical advice from a trained and credentialed professional when making decisions about your own health. Welcome to the Sleep Apnea Stories podcast. I'm Emma Cooksey, and I've been coping with sleep apnea since childhood. I didn't know anyone in my life with a sleep disorder, so I decided to start this podcast. I'm here to build community and provide a platform for people with sleep apnea to tell their stories. Together, we can shatter stereotypes and raise awareness. We'll be exploring all sorts of treatment options and lifestyle choices to help you live your best life with sleep apnea. This is Sleep Apnea Stories, and I'm so glad you're here. Hey everyone, it's Emma Cooksey here, and I'm your host. So we're coming up on my 100th episode of the podcast here soon in a couple of weeks. And I'm going to have an Instagram Live on June 2nd at 7 p.m. Eastern. So if you're not already following me on Instagram, it's Sleep Apnea Stories on Instagram, and I'll be doing a live. I'm hoping to kind of talk a bit about some of my favorite episodes you might have missed, and maybe I'll interview a few special guests for updates since they were on the podcast. So those are my ideas, but I really hope you guys will all join me. Then I also wanted to do a quick correction for a previous episode where it was the one with Teresa and Trent Tidball, and they were talking all about Trent's journey. And I mentioned Graham Stoney and how he had talked about in his interview that he had to test for sleep apnea before he saw a specific chronic fatigue doctor. So he got in touch just to say that the way that I characterized it wasn't quite right. So he, I think, didn't end up seeing that doctor, I think is what he said. But anyway, so apologies to Graham. So today's conversation is with Karen Wolk, who is in Gilroy, California. She works as a regional brand activator in the Northwest US for Masimo Consumer. She got her Inspire implant in July of 2018. She's been a volunteer patient ambassador for 4.5 years for Inspire, and she's participated in hundreds of patient talks, both in person and on Zoom, and talked with patients one-on-one, as well as talking with doctors. Being a volunteer patient ambassador has given her life so much meaning and purpose, and she truly believes that Inspire therapy is changing lives for the better. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Karen Wolk. Welcome, Karen.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Emma.
Yeah, I'm so excited to reconnect with you after a while. I feel like we've kind of been in touch since I interviewed you. But yeah. I can't wait to hear your update. So you were actually the first person I interviewed for the podcast all that time ago in the summer of 2020. So I guess for people who, I will put the link to our original conversation in the show notes. But okay. I think for people listening that didn't hear that, maybe just recap kind of a little bit about your story and where we got to on the last podcast, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Yeah, since 2020, a lot has changed, but a lot is also still the same. I mean, things just keep getting better and better. I remember when we interviewed, I know that I was like your first guest other than you, which was real exciting. And I remember all of these ideas of what it was you wanted to accomplish. And I'm so excited about all the things you have accomplished and all the connections that you've been able to make and all the people you've been able to help. So a little bit about what's changed for me is that things are getting much better. I've been doing a lot better as far as being able to function in the world and get out and do more things and take on new challenges.
So for people who didn't listen to the first episode, you were talking about how it took a while to get the diagnosis with sleep apnea.
Sure.
And you had a lot of cognitive impairment.
Yeah.
And the thing that always sticks out in my head is that you were doing your job and talking about a lens cap, and you couldn't think of the word for lens cap.
Yes.
And you were like, there's something really wrong. And so you talked us through going to different doctors and eventually getting your diagnosis. And so at the end of the last episode, you talked about how you tried CPAP, that didn't go well. And then eventually you found the Inspire implant, and that was, going well for you. So then pick up there and let us know then what happened.
So at the time when I found Inspire, that was, the same surgeon that did a nasal turbinate reduction for me to be able to tolerate the mask. And I did I did try by CPAP for a year and BiPAP for a year. And then I actually went quite a while untreated because during the time when I, between July 2017, when I got medically cleared for Inspire, it took a year to get, insurance to approve it. And so that was a really sad year. And I would say I declined quite a bit in that year.
And you were struggling with depression a lot then.
Depression, anxiety, symptoms, panic attacks, which, I realized that I was probably, choking all night and having them at night, right? Just literally panicking because I'm not breathing. Yeah. And then that's how I think I became really good at having panic, just not sure where it came from. And I realized it was all happening while I was trying to sleep. And
your nervous system is not getting that reset that I hear that some other people's nervous systems get during sleep. And so you're really starting each day from this heightened fight or flight kind of a place. Yeah.
So a heightened state of awareness. Now, during the time when I was doing CPAP and BiPAP, with CPAP, first the nasal turbinate reduction to help, tolerate the mask. But then I found that the happy face on the machine was always there to greet me in the morning, and it did not match, the face on my face.
Right.
And my Epworth sleepiness scales were, pretty high. And the only thing that keeping them without being at the top was that I would never allow someone to drive me in a car. So I would never fall asleep as a passenger in a car. So that, there's some extra things that I could do, just simply because I was refusing to be a passenger.
Yeah.
And I would say I had limited driving, because even the area that my doctor would allow me to drive in, he said I had to keep a 50-mile radius, to, just make sure that I was always able to get home.
Mm-hmm.
During that year, I also to keep my insurance, I had to work full time. My employer at the time, luckily, I had left my COBRA from my last employer, where I had left on disability leave.
Mm-hmm.
And my COBRA had just run out, and immediately moved over to new company insurance, got in enough hours just to be able to be covered. They were so amazing. They got me an advocate. And then during the process of getting Inspire, I had to do an independent medical review, and the results were one doctor said yes, two said no, but the one that said yes contradicted the one that said no. So then the state immediately said, we need to do another one. And of course I filed all the appeals, and Inspire helped me. And then the state got me a free attorney.
So what was their argument that you shouldn't get the therapy?
Someone didn't read. And so the doctor that said yes, that, that read through all the documents and all the medical records, realized that I had done all the things that, in order to
because there's a lot
it wasn't covered.
So for people listening, there's a process to go through.
Yes.
I think quite often with Inspire, and we'll get to what exactly it is in a second, but I talk to people all the time who are doing really well with CPAP in terms of it's lowering their AHI and they're feeling better. And so those people are kind of like, no, I'm a bit annoyed with my CPAP. Maybe I'll get Inspire instead. But there is actually a process to go through, which usually involves people trying CPAP and not doing well with it. And like, there's a bunch of different things that the doctor will take you through to test for certain things. And yeah.
And those things have kind of changed over time. Initially, the reason why all these hoops were because it wasn't initially in 2017 and 2018, it was still coming on board with being covered by insurance. So
Right.
now that these things don't happen, the time from when you get medically approved to insurance approved is
It's
very
much
quick
quicker, yeah.
if you're a candidate. And so the process is, you need to have like a recent sleep study. You need to have moderate to severe sleep apnea. There are some criteria. They have a minimum and maximum AHI. All of that stuff
And your
goes
doctor
through.
will, like, usually the
Yeah.
doctor that's actually doing the Inspire surgery will do a DICE procedure to check exactly what's happening when you're
Yeah, so that would be
asleep.
the
And
next
yeah,
thing.
right
Yeah.
on.
So
Got
they would
it.
do the DICE. They would go and they just really need to know that you are either, not tolerating CPAP, not benefiting from CPAP.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that determine what that means. And a lot of the things that I felt were subjective. And so if you looked at me on paper, if you just looked at my AHI on CPAP and the fact that I was desperate to be successful and I was doing cognitive behavior therapy for insomnia and nightmares from the mask and learning sleep hygiene and working my best and being a very
Doing all the
miserable,
things.
uncomfortable patient, getting lost in the hallway. Yeah, I
Yes.
was lost in their hallways all the time. After that, getting Inspire was a much longer process, like I said, a year, but then everything shifted, and it really was like I had said before, like in 2020, it was really like almost immediately after activation where I started to feel something.
Yeah.
And for me, that was highly reinforcing. And but when I did go, get wheeled in for my procedure, I promised myself, and I remember saying to the doctor that if this thing works, I'm going to tell everyone about it. And luckily for me, it did.
Yeah.
And but then I was on the hook. So,
Yeah.
I quickly tried to find out how I could, help other patients. So that's how I became a patient ambassador, but and
Yeah.
volunteer. But
And so
really,
tell,
go
can
ahead.
you just explain, Karen, for people listening who have never heard of this and don't know
Yes,
what it is,
yes.
can you explain a little bit about
Yeah.
what the Inspire implant does,
Yeah.
what the procedure is to put it in there? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I've been on over 200 virtual patient talks, so I've heard descriptions of how this procedure is. But I am not a doctor, and I do not
Right.
claim.
I'm
I
also
just
not a
claim to.
doctor.
I know some doctors, but I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
And I've heard the description many times of what it is. So
Yeah.
basically, it is surgery. So there is pain. It isn't painless, and it is not an external attachment. It actually is, working
Inside your
inside your
body.
body.
Yeah.
So there is an incision where I have like right here, and that's where the generator is. And then there's a lead that runs up here,
Up your neck.
up to under my chin here. And
Yep.
this is a hypoglossal nerve cuff. Basically what it does, what's magical is also there's a lead. I have a lead with another incision, a third incision. They don't do the third incision anymore. Now there's a lead to a sensing lead for the respiration. So every time you inhale or inspire, which is hence the name Inspire,
Yep.
what it will do is gently move my tongue out of my airway, and then it'll sense my respiration. So it'll do it every time. And the way I describe it is it does for me what I cannot do for myself.
So it's a tiny, like, so it's quite a small implant. It all looks almost like a pacemaker, but the other side of your chest. And then that is sensing when you breathe in, and that's sending a message to your nerve that controls your tongue.
Yes, a motor
And
nerve.
that's
Yes.
moving your tongue out of your airway.
Yeah, and it
Fascinating.
very, very gently though. So there's, you know, I have my remote control. I can grab it, but I'm traveling, so I'm like in a hotel, which is also amazing. Travel
Yeah.
with this thing is fantastic,
Yeah.
and I can go through travel, go anywhere. I don't need distilled water. I don't need to go figure out where I'm going to plug it in.
Right.
I don't need to go
Right.
clean anything, and I feel like power outages not a problem for me.
Yeah.
All of these things that can be quite traumatic,
I know.
and you know, and frightening when you know when you're trying to find supplies and stuff. All I got to find is now AA batteries, and you know, I'm good to
Yeah.
go. But yeah, the procedure itself is now it's an outpatient procedure, and I ended up taking narcotic pain medication for a couple days, and then switched to Advil and Tylenol. And was back at work. I was working from home after the 2 days on my computer, and then back at work in 1 week. And there is a lifting restriction with your right arm for a while, like 10 pounds, whatever the doctor recommends, and just
Yeah.
so that you can take time to heal. But yeah, you know, there is a little bit of downtime, and I think that it's really great to take a week off and just recover,
Yeah.
and then slowly get back to your living your life. And with the end goal of that in 1 month, you're going to get this device activated. Also, they do check your incisions like around a week from the procedure, make sure everything's healing nicely. And but really the fun starts at the 1 month mark. And before that, it isn't really fun. It's more this anticipation of what is it going to be like. And
Yes.
a lot of people ask me what it feels like. That's like the question
That's
that is
my
the most
question.
popular. Yeah. And so ideally it almost feels like almost not noticeable because of course I'm asleep.
Right.
So think about when you're breathing at night and if your tongue wasn't blocking your airway, and how that would feel. And that's kind of what it is. It's moving my tongue out of my airway so I can breathe. Without it, my tongue is blocking my airway and I'm having apnea. So,
Yeah.
you know, people ask me, does it wake me up? No, but apnea wakes me up.
Right.
That's if I don't turn the device on and I go to sleep, I go right back to the way I was.
Yes.
And so this just does the things that I can't do for myself. And it is extremely comfortable and there's comfort settings. So you know, you go home with instructions and everything, and there's an app, and now you have the SleepSync remote,
I saw that. So tell
which
us a
I've
little
gotten.
bit about that. So
Yeah,
that
and I have to bring
tracks.
that out. Work for a technology company, so
Yeah.
it ends up being that this is the most important piece of equipment and also the most important remote control I've ever had. So
I bet.
yeah. Okay, so I put the batteries in the back. And
Yeah.
then on the back there, because this is Bluetooth, you can see on the back there's like a little button, and you can sync it with your phone. And of course, the phone that I'm using for this right now with you is the phone where I have the app.
Right.
So,
So explain, because before, like, so I just recently saw what the app looked like, and it almost looks the same as like the way CPAP data, like they'll have apps where it tells you like this number of hours you were asleep and all the different stuff. So it's almost like that, right? It's tracking how much you're using it.
right. So it tracks different data than, you know, CPAP because
Right.
it's not tracking pressure.
Right.
It's not also one thing that's great is it doesn't tell me how I feel. I
There's
remember when they
no
were developing
enforced
it.
smiley
Yeah.
face.
There's no, you need to be happy because you slept and you were breathing while you were sleeping.
Right.
So there is on the app, basically tracking amount of hours. It does list like how much of stimulation, like what setting you're at. It does say the voltage, but that won't mean much to a patient, but it does mean something to your doctor.
Okay.
And you know, and I kind of work it with levels. I know the back here has, you know, that I'm at level 6. If someone has alcohol, they can turn it up And if they gain weight, you know, like can turn it up, lose weight, turn it down.
Yep. And when that's you go all home, at the patient's fingertips. Like you don't have
and like
to...
the plus and the minus are all on the remote.
Yeah.
And there's the play pause button, the stop button. You literally can pause whenever you want. Like, or like I only pause to like drink or eat or talk. Sometimes I don't even pause to talk. I'll just talk through it. But it's set for default times. Like there's a runtime of 8 hours initially, right? There's pause of 30 minutes start time of 30 minutes. There's a pause time of I think 15 minutes, but everything can be customized. So I have all my settings changed to meet
so
my
it's
needs.
A start time, like a delay, kind of like a ramp.
Yeah.
Like where, yeah.
There's a ramp. Yeah. So it basically, I can show you because this is really exciting. So I'm going to push the button and with the new remote.
I love that you know how nerdy I am about sleep apnea. So I'm just like, show me.
Yeah, this is exciting. So everybody get ready. So you push the button, you'll hear the two beeps, which you hear in the Inspire commercial. Then this light will turn, the ring around this green button will turn green from white. And that'll let me know if it's on my nightstand and I move it, you can see whether it's on or off. If your significant other wants to check, they can check and see that your device is running based on the ring around this green button. So I'm going to push the button. It'll move my tongue out of my airway for a few seconds. And you'll know that it's running. And then technically how it would work is then 30 minutes later, if it was on default settings, it would start running. Okay, here we go. That's it. I know that was exciting. So if I just went off on my way, it would start running. There, I turned it back off again. But on the back, you can see the levels built. And then you can see on the back also if there's like any issues. There's like if there's a problem with your battery going, you know, your battery's in the remote going dead, mm-hmm. it'll give you a warning. I always like to travel with extra AA batteries. Before, they were AAA batteries in the previous remote. Mm-hmm. And then I can sync it in the morning. I just basically connect it, push a button on my phone, which I totally nerd out on that too. And then it brings the data over to my phone. And then I get to decide how my sleep was. There's a little owl. No smiley face. And in fact, when they were designing the app, I got to be in a focus group, and that was something I was adamant about.
Oh, I love like, that.
Yeah. Don't tell me how I slept. Only I know how I slept.
Right. So when I talked to Pat McBride, thank you for connecting us. So she was talking a bit about like with any therapy, like people kind of take to it differently. And like, is there any need for adjusting things talk about that?
So I'm you know, one of the great things about the therapy is it's dynamic. So when you get anatomy altering surgery, your best day, as I've heard by the doctors that perform it, is the best day is the day that you got it done. And then from after that, it's all, you know, depending on a lot of factors, right? But with Inspire, that is not the case. So you could get, you know, I got my Inspire device in July of 2018. It was activated in August. I went on for like 3 years without really changing any settings and working within the remote.
So are you regularly seeing a doctor or the?
Six months, every 6 months is ideal.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do that, but some people it's like maybe once a year. But what's great is if there's an issue, now your doctor's gonna know, because the remote is not only reporting it to you,
but it's
going to the doctor
somehow in the magic of the internet. Reported to your doctor,
so
they
can
see.
Yes. And they can also see like the stuff that you put. So it puts my usage. So by the way, I've been using it for 4.5 years, every night except for two nights. One night I left it somewhere, you know, I went on a trip and forgot it, never do that again. And then one time I was sitting in a chair in an ER with someone and I fell asleep without it. So those are the only two nights. But other than that, I have used it over 8 hours a night for 4.5 years. But the settings have changed. So I go in, they interrogate the device, they make sure, they do all the things that they need to do to make sure I'm good. Then because they have a programmer, and then they, recheck to make sure that my tongue moves the way it should. I get to tell them, hey, I'm not comfortable. Now, before it was just mostly, the data was all not on, not immediately reported. So I had to go in, and then they would upload my data, and then we would have that conversation. Now they can be ready for me, and they can call me in and say, hey, you look like you're having problems. And I can say, yeah, I'm having problems.
So much better. Like, this makes me think so much of a recent conversation I had about remote patient monitoring. And and for every type of therapy, whether it's Inspire, CPAP, oral appliance therapy, all those things, like actually monitoring the patient.
Yes.
And then you can see, like, is there an issue? Do we need to have them come in earlier? And I really hope that's the way everything's going.
I hope so too. And I'm fascinated, of course, with the technology and how it all works and how it works inside my body.
Yeah.
I think it makes me a very unique, individual. Not just because, this thing is, helping me to breathe at night, but also it helps me to help other people, know, who are struggling mostly in silence. And those who have maybe, gone the other way where, I'm going in every 6 months. Right. But think about the time when I stopped using therapy and had given up. And I know a lot of people end up there. And they may have been called non-compliant, and such a bad word.
Yeah.
And I think that with Inspire, what literally inspires me is that it's about adherence. It's about letting the device do its job. It's about going in and, I get my settings changed. So at about 3.5 years, I had them set.
So what did that look like? Like, did you notice more tiredness? So you thought, I need to get this changed. Yeah.
So I'm getting old. I can't.
No, you're not. Come on.
So I just turned like 52. Yeah. I went in and I was reporting that, hey, I'm feeling like these cognitive issues are kind of creeping back in.
Yes.
I'm getting in the hours of sleep. In fact, I'm over the hours of sleep. I'm having apnea through, like, the device is not controlling it because the settings needed to be changed. And there's tons and tons of settings. So, and there's one perfect for, it's not just that there's a perfect setting for me. There's a perfect setting for me for every part of my life. 3.5 years before, there was a different setting for me. And got now then they reset it. And then I also recently had it done again. And so they just go in and they take the programmer and.
So you're just telling them how you've been feeling.
Yeah.
And then they're able to look at the data.
They can look at how my tongue moves when they interrogate the device.
Yeah.
So they can see that, oh, wow, it isn't, and then there are other things they can do. They can do like maybe an awake endoscopy. That is something that they could do. I haven't done that.
So both those times, did you find that the programmers kind of adjusted what was happening and then that helped again? And
absolutely.
Oh,
like,
perfect.
Like this, and this last time, it was fantastic. Like it only took, a matter of, I was feeling really bad. And also,
with the cognitive impairment and just feeling like,
And also I have a whole nother diagnosis that I figured I'd disclose on here that apparently goes along and holds hands with, sleep apnea. Sometimes, some people have other comorbidities, right?
Yes.
And so I was feeling bad because I was having more than one problem. And I realized that getting my device reset might help some of it, right? And without getting that completely under control, it's really hard to work on my other stuff. So yeah, I just went in and they reset it. So now my apnea is still at, between a 4 and a 5 AHI. So I'm still like normal. Yeah. And so I got really lucky because at Stanford, I have, an amazing team. And I was having issues that led me to a doctor at Stanford that specializes in chronic fatigue syndrome, and also the PACS clinic there. And so I met with him. It was a very long visit, and he asked a lot of questions, and we went through my whole history. And he determined that I met the criteria for chronic fatigue syndrome. And the rest of the words are hard for me, but the encephalomyelitis, I believe, is ME, which I find that people don't believe that chronic fatigue syndrome in lay people don't believe it is a thing. So then there's
Oh,
the other
I
words.
believe it's a thing.
So I know that there's a lot of controversy out in the world just about what's real and what's not. But what I found fascinating was after getting, I got COVID right after I saw him, and then I ended up having long COVID symptoms. So, and they are quite similar for me. And so it was kind of like having a diagnosis of something. Ironically, he pinpointed like the late 2011 when I was having the word finding difficulties was around the time when the chronic fatigue syndrome came into play. So I that explains why even though I'm not sleepy, I'm fatigued. And those two things are different
So that
was
was going to be my next question. How did you feel about that? Like, how did you feel about that diagnosis? Did it?
It scared me because of course I like to research. I like to ask a lot of questions when I'm at the doctor, and I like to find out like what are the possible outcomes. And so what I found out was it could be like a permanently disabling condition, or it won't be. So it really depends on a lot on what works for me. So I'm taking some medication, currently taking low dose naltrexone, and I am trying some other medications shortly. I have found the low dose naltrexone to be helpful, and
Good.
I am super, I mean, I feel like I'm really lucky to have been able to seek out the help and be able to get an answer. When I originally made that appointment, there was like a year waiting list to be seen, and luckily there was like a cancellation like 7 months later. So I'm glad I got that answer, but yeah, I was very overwhelmed and a
That's a
bit
lot to
scared.
take in.
And then I, had to find out how that was going to impact me at work. And I thought the doctor wanted to write in some accommodations for work, so I have those. And trying to figure out, I have to do this thing called pacing, where I'm supposed to be careful about how many activities I do in a day and try not to, it's basically just try not to burn yourself out every day.
Try and conserve your spoons.
Yes, I'm doing that. And but it is interesting. It is kind of come full circle. I still think that I still see the same psychiatrist that initially was the guy that sent me to all the
Who
people.
actually sent you for a sleep study, right?
Well, he sent me to all of the different people, but
This episode of Sleep Apnea Stories is sponsored by BetterHelp. How well we look after our mind really affects how we experience life. Therapy has been so helpful to me since I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. It helped me to work through the feelings I had about going undiagnosed for so long. It also helped me to adjust to living with a chronic condition. One of the best things about starting my podcast has been realizing I'm not alone in coping with mental health issues along with sleep apnea. Speaking to a professional therapist has helped me enormously to manage my anxiety and depression. BetterHelp is online therapy and it's much more affordable than in-person sessions. You can get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Emma. That's betterhelp.com/Emma.
big obstacle that I see, that at least for me and for people that I know that are afraid to go get tested, they see the treatment and then they don't want to know that they have it.
So what they need to do is listen to my podcast.
That is exactly true. But I think I can only get as far, you know, just me talking to people, I can only get so far, but the people that I have talked to about how important it is to get tested, and then they find out they have it and then they end up getting treated, I can only go so far. I need a bigger platform. I need to be able to, like,
you need a podcast, Karen.
I need a podcast.
Or like a YouTube channel or something. Yeah.
Something. But being, I guess, I like the phrase comfortably uncomfortable. Yeah. I like to be in that place because it's important to change the way people frame up their belief system.
And I think things are changing, honestly. I feel like people are starting to, like, if you even just look at, like, the podcasting landscape, like the podcasts that do really well are people just talking in a real way about, you know, their lives and what's happening. So I know one thing that I really wanted to ask you is I hadn't realized before, but you worked with Dr. Sarah Silverman on your CPAP, like trying to kind of
She was my person. Yeah.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about that process? I know that CPAP didn't end up being the answer for you, but just for people who might be struggling and looking for help, can you kind of talk through what you did with her? Cause that's super interesting.
So, Dr. Silverman, met her at Stanford when she was there, and, my sleep medicine doctors, you know, made an appointment for me to see her for cognitive behavior therapy for insomnia.
Yeah.
And then I got into her office, and then she kind of tried to figure out what's going on. And I told her, you know, one of the problems is the insomnia. And one of the problems is I'm having nightmares from the mask, like all of, you know.
So you had kind of claustrophobia feelings, right?
I had, and also I was choking. That's why they moved me from CPAP to BiPAP, because I wasn't actually, I was swallowing air.
Yeah.
Not really breathing.
Yeah.
And my apnea is without CPAP, my AHI was, you know, 20.6, but I'd stop breathing 74 seconds at a time.
So
it's like a moderate sleep apnea with a severe consequence.
Yes.
And so, you know, given that fact, when they knocked down that AHI, like I have a really small airway. They said it was like breathing through a straw. So imagine just forcing air through a straw. And then I'm just swallowing the air, trying to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would talk to me about all of, not only cognitive behavior therapy techniques, there was an app. We would work on that app. I would do my homework at home and then come and check in, and we would go over whatever, you know, had happened during that period of time. And then also we would work on sleep hygiene techniques. And I found that it was very difficult to employ them at that time because I was struggling just to be.
Yeah.
And I found, but I did find her to be very positive, very, you know, she was inspirational to, you know, I knew I wanted to get better. I just didn't know how I was going to get there. And all the stuff she taught me, I still use now and actually can use, you know, like, you know, getting the room.
It's almost like that chicken or egg thing where when you're not sleeping at all, you are just, you feel so terrible that it's hard to make great choices, like whether it's in, you know, just like food and nutrition and things like that, but also like all the things that you would need to do, like around sleep hygiene to get a good night's sleep. I feel like the more tired you are, the less likely to do those things you are. But then once you actually started getting some sleep because you had your Inspire, then like you actually can implement those things, which is great.
Yes, that's exactly it. Like I couldn't do that stuff at the time. And also because I couldn't remember anything.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stay awake for very long. And then like, if you would ask me a question, let's say you were Dr. Silverman, you asked me a question. If I tried to answer the question, I'd be like, I would get a few words in and then I'd be like, what were we talking about?
No idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I knew that, you know, I knew we were having a conversation, but I had no idea where it was going or couldn't follow anything. So now, being able to retain information is super important when you're going to work on something like
It's
cognitive
super
behavior therapy.
important just for living life. I
And
mean,
having, having a cognitive impairment and doing cognitive behavior therapy is kind of interesting. And
Yeah, I could
but I, yeah,
imagine. Oh my goodness.
I definitely enjoyed the sessions, but I enjoy them even more now. And I know that she's, now helping a larger group.
Yeah, I'm
And
actually getting ready to interview her for the podcast, so that's going to be really interesting. Because I think a lot of times people don't think, especially people that are dealing with CPAP and having a tough time with CPAP, I think that oftentimes people are not thinking about sleep hygiene and all these kind of things that seem really basic. But, I feel as though, they're like, well, I can't sleep because the CPAP thing, and that's true, but then there's also a whole bunch of other things you can be doing to really set the scene for sleep and start from a place that's not high anxiety,
I now cover the Northwest United
Yeah,
States.
what are you doing now? Like everything from your social media.
Yeah, so I work for a company that recently got acquired. Now it's Massimo Consumer, and there are a whole bunch of brands that that includes, which would be Bowers and Wilkins, Denon, Marantz, Definitive Technology, Polk, and Class A, and those are all audio brands. And we are like a team of regional brand activators. We all just got together for a meeting in San
And so
Diego
you're
and
traveling and you're,
traveling. And so I get to go from store to store, and my customer is Best Buy, so I go to a lot of Best Buy stores and work with people that work there on how to sell. And
And you can now
that's
remember what a lens cap is called.
And the lens cap is also, that's nice that I can remember the words.
Yeah.
And I do sometimes have, brain fog
Right.
happens, and I'm a lot better at dealing with it than I think most people. And when I see somebody having a problem word finding, I know what that feels like. So I
Yes.
try not to,
Probably makes you more empathetic.
And I feel like I see the way other people treat people with cognitive issues, and it teaches me a lot about what I need to not do.
Yeah.
N not that I should judge others for how they treat others, but more like I need to make step back and realize that I could be part of that problem, and that I need to step back and think of my what are my intentions,
Yeah.
and coming into a situation, I don't know how somebody ended up the way that they are, but we all are human. And I also have found in my travels at stores and elsewhere just how many people that have, number one, have diagnosed sleep apnea, but then there's the ones that weren't diagnosed until we talked. And
Yes.
then I find out that they had it too.
Yes.
And then they tell me that, oh, I'm getting treatment.
That seems like it wouldn't be impactful, but it's hugely impactful. That's, I think, like one of the biggest things that anybody with sleep apnea can do is just talk about their diagnosis.
I'm a volunteer patient ambassador, and that's what I do. I talk to people about Inspire, and I found that a lot of people are struggling to feel good. So they're using their CPAP, they're using their BiPAP, they're doing the things. They're putting in the hours. They wake up, and every day they don't feel better. They, maybe they're having issues like that are leading to heart issues. Maybe they're having issues where they're falling asleep at the wheel or feeling like they're going to. And maybe they're having problems with memory. Maybe their whole experience, they don't even know what's wrong, but they know something's wrong. So they're just not, they're not benefiting from the therapy, but they are, showing up. That's one patient. Then there's the one that stopped showing up, and
So
the
their
one that,
CPAP's in their drawer and is doing no one any good.
So both of those patients could be an Inspire candidate.
But not, it isn't for everyone, right? But the
Right.
people that Inspire works for, it works really well, just generally.
Yeah.
And I've talked to patient after patient after patient that, have said that before Inspire, they were just existing, and they were just doing the things to make them look good on paper. And that was enough for their doctor, because their doctor's concern was
The smiley face.
making, well, not just the smiley face, but think about, like, they feel like they're doing their job. If you don't, maybe you
Yep.
don't tell them, or maybe they don't correlate your symptoms
Oh,
with it
I'm
not being
telling
successful.
them. They just look at the data and they
They look at the
say,
data.
the data's great.
Yeah. And I've got
Off
some,
you
like,
go.
I've got one of my doctors that I go to is an Inspire trained doctor. And I can't say enough about him. He's just so exciting, and he talks about treating the whole
Which
person.
daughter is it?
So I'm seeing a doctor in Fresno, Dr. Nazir. But I love all the doctors I see. So I'm like, it's like a love fest. But I really I love the fact that he treats his patients like whole people, and that
Yes.
he's he listens. And I try to come to the appointment with notes, to kind
That's
of
a
talk
great
about what's
idea.
important. But I think for Inspire, though, the patient is definitely, to be a candidate, there's all these criteria, but the pathway is pretty quick, to get approved once you're medically approved. And I just feel like that there's so many people that if they're looking at CPAP as the reason they're not getting tested, they should also think about that it isn't the only path,
Right.
and that I'm not saying, and then for the people that I have talked to where CPAP worked, and like at first when I talked to them, they hadn't even been tested. They were afraid of the mask, and they still went and got tested because I nagged them. And then they and then they tried the CPAP therapy, and even the first night they were like, this is amazing. So
Yeah.
for that, that's amazing. That's great because it's the
Yeah.
gold standard.
Well,
But
it's
for the
just the
people,
right therapy for the right patient, right?
right. And but then for the ones that it doesn't work for, that's not their fault. And if going to the sleep doctor is frightening because they're gonna possibly prescribe something that you don't that you're terrified of, it's better to go and find out what the options are. Find
Yeah.
out how, like, number one, if you have sleep apnea, number two, to find out how bad it is, and to find out what other health implications there are, to
Yes.
get educated, to immerse yourself. If you find out you
And
have sleep
figure
apnea,
out what the options are for you. Yeah.
and then find out, do you know, go and look at what's out there. And Inspire's an option. It's a second line therapy. But it is a therapy. It is not a surgery. It is not a one and done.
Right.
You don't go in, get
It's an
your device.
ongoing every
Yeah,
night.
you're
Yeah.
continuing to go,
Yeah.
and turn on that device every night. You're committing to be. You're basically in charge, just like with CPAP. You're in charge of turning it on and turning it off.
Yep.
And I think that that's ultimately great. It's great to be. I'm accountable to the thing that's working for me, right?
Yeah.
And so we are, I mean, you and I are have the same disease, right? We treat it two different ways. What works for you didn't work for me. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong or bad about either one of us.
No.
It actually means that we have learned to accept things that in the past we maybe would not have. We
Yeah.
are brave people who went and got sleep studies.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Thank you
Yes.
so much for joining me again.
Thank you.
It was so great to catch up with you, Karen. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. I love hearing from you. If you'd like to be featured in an upcoming episode, please email me at sleepapneastories@gmail.com. That's also the place to get in touch if you just want to say hi or ask a question. Alternatively, you can always reach me on Instagram. My handle there is @sleepapneastories. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen. This really helps a wider audience to find the episodes, and I really appreciate it.